Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 27 of Season 7 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick, Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is little Eddie O'Hare, formerly of the DC TV Report. Welcome back to the show, Eddie.
Thank you for the invitation.
I like having you on. it's always nice having, you know, talking with somebody who takes up the Oscar challenge every year, just like me.
So yes, you know. Yes.
I mean, that, again, you know, you and I talked about this, you know, when the Oscars were the night of the Oscars, you know, that, you know, I don't count the shorts in my thing, but I did get to see 14 out of 15 of them, you know, because it's so difficult for me to find them. So I, you know, for me, I have to watch all the other movies. And I did.
Congrats. Yeah. I think I have like 6 or 7 years in a row. Consecutively. Yeah. And there's always something. It's usually either a live action short or one of the foreign movies or documentaries. That's always really tricky to find. This year it was To Kill a Tiger, which I think ended up getting released on Netflix the day of the ceremony.
Okay. I actually did see that one. I saw it like a week and a half before. And I actually liked it a lot more than most people. I saw most people ranking it as the, you know, at the bottom of their list of the documentaries. But I really liked it. I thought they did a really good job there. I mean, I'm not a fan of foreign films. So, you know, I had a problem with the fact that I was paying attention to I don't even remember what language they were talking there. But, you know, but I liked the concept of what they were doing there.
Yes.
But for some reason, most people didn't like it. I don't know. Now, they liked it enough to nominate it, but not to put it in the pool, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I mean, that category is always hard, you know, especially because it's the documentarians who choose the nominees. Right. And I'm sure a lot of the voters wanted to be voting for the Michael J. Fox doc. But
I don't know why that wasn't there. I mean, I do know why it wasn't there, but, you know.
Yeah. You know, because the documentarians like, you know, documentaries, and they don't, there's always one big showbiz documentary that gets left out. I remember one year, I think it was Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Yeah, but they also got pissed off about the whole thing with the, I mean, this is, you know, as of recording, this is in the news, but people got really upset about when the O.J. Simpson documentary won a few years ago. Yeah, because, you know, they said, how can you nominate an 8-hour documentary? You know, it's not fair. And I got to say, I've seen it twice and I loved it both times.
But it's a TV show. It's not a movie.
I can understand from that perspective. But I mean, again, when I watch miniseries or document, what do they call them these days? Limited series. I try to watch them in a row. So for me, it doesn't matter that it's an 8-hour limited series. To me, it's a movie. You know, it's one long movie. That's the thing. But okay, that's me. Mm-hmm. What can I tell you? Yeah. So, minute 27.
Oh, that's right. We're talking Die Hard.
That's right. No, we're talking Die Hard with Vengeance. So, minute 27 begins with John and Zeus coming to a decision and ends with John picking up the phone. So, we ended things yesterday with both John and Zeus trying to figure out what number they should be dialing. And then Zeus says, wait a second. You know, there's something wrong here. It's not 2401. It's something else. And then John goes, what do you mean? What about the guy? He goes, there's just one guy. So John starts this minute by saying, just one guy? Just one guy. He goes, the answer is one. How do you dial one? And he goes, 555-0001. 001. Just one guy's going? And John like starts to get it, you know. Bruce Willis does an amazing job in this film portraying this character that, on the one hand, you know, he is really, really smart, but on the other hand, he's clueless. You know, because I love the way that this you know the combo of Zeus and John is basically, you know, are they trying to show brains versus brawn or street smart versus book smart? I think it's more that they're trying to show street smart versus book smart, because John is street smart and Zeus seems more book smart than street smart. He knows certain things about the street, but not on the same level that John does.
Yeah, and I think it's also this area, and you know, kind of the fact that McClane has been out of it for a while. You know, and you know, re remember he starts this movie, you know, basically waking up out of an alcohol fueled haze, and you know, chucking coffee and aspirin, trying to get over that hangover. So I feel like, and this is still pretty early in the day, so I feel like, you know, he's trying to battle that, whereas Zeus probably got a good night's sleep and is ha, you know ha, has is more alarm and alarmed and acute,
Right.
yeah, and has all of his faculties. And
Right.
you know, is and you know, even though McClane has more experience with these types of things, is still trying to get his head into the right place.
Right. But I mean, we talked about this during the first week. I mean, the way that the script opens up this movie is very different than they do here. Because they give us basically John's background explaining why he's in this situation. They show, you know, that he's a cop who's getting all these different awards. They show that he's going through a really bad divorce. They show that he starts becoming a drunk, you know, things like that.
Oh,
Which
okay.
gives us I mean, again, it's not necessary because we find it out through the course of the movie, but I did like the way that they set the table for us with that. And here, you know, it's a guessing game that we have to try and figure it out for ourselves as to what's going on with him.
Yeah, and that to me, that feels very John McTiernan. Or just cut the fat. You don't need to know, and that, especially the way that they handle certain flashback elements in the background, you don't need to know. You don't need to know all of that. You can just look at John McClane in that first scene, and put the pieces together of what his, you know, of the wrecking ball that's gone through his life in the last 5 years since we last saw him.
Okay, I definitely agree with that. So basically, at this point, you know I mean, first of all, I love the question, "How do I dial one?" It's great. It's great.
It's very, you know, it's very your friend in middle school going like, wait, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. So he gives him the answers. So you dial 555-555-0001. So I actually did a search to find that number to see if, I mean, we know it's not a real number. 555 is, you know, as anyone who's seen The Last Action Hero knows, you know, the reason that you can always be 555 is because of area codes. Okay. But so I just looked it up, and the first like 10 results in Google is for an item called a seal tool. Which is known as a Stemco 555-0001, and it is basically, you know, I don't know, something that you use in order to seal up leaks, or I don't know, but it's $42 if you want to buy it online. It's like a 13-pound product.
Okay.
So I just thought it was really funny that's what came up. So I had to dive a little deeper to look for phone numbers and stuff like that. And the only one that I could find out is I came across a list of phone numbers on The Simpsons. Okay.
Yeah. Well, 'cause I was gonna say, in America, the 555, no matter what, I always thought whatever, no matter the area code, 555 doesn't exist.
No,
Like that.
we talked about this. We talked about
Yeah.
this a few seasons ago. I believe it might have even been in Die Hard 2. I don't remember who's Die
Okay.
Hard 2 or when Harry Met Sally that we talked about the phone number and the way that 555. I mean, again, there are no phone numbers that are 555 except for information. where you get 555
Okay.
1212. Every other 555 is not in use, and it hasn't been in use for decades. It's
Yes.
designated for something else, you know, and it's not used. And that's why movies used it, because then they didn't have to worry about the fact that people were basically, you know, that people are going to try and call a number. You know, it was a way to give people in movies, you know, fictional numbers that they could use without a problem.
Precisely.
And that's what they do. So are you a Simpsons fan or not? Okay. So I'm not going to go through. I have like a 3-page list here of all the different characters in The Simpsons, what their phone numbers are. And they all start obviously with 555. But can you try and guess two of them? Okay, whose number is 555-0000 and whose is 555-0001? Any clue?
No clue. 555-0000. I mean, I'm trying to think like who would have phone numbers. Yeah, maybe I'm not thinking about this correctly because I'm thinking like, is that a news station or is that zero zero? I mean, is that the actual Simpsons phone number? Or is it who's the
No,
lawyer?
Homer's number is 555-7334.
Okay. Zero zero. I mean, could that have been I forget his name, the lawyer that Phil Hartman voiced. Lyle something. Or could that have been a phone number that Troy McClure might have advertised in an infomercial? The those are my guesses.
Okay. And you would unfortunately be wrong. Again, I wouldn't have known this. I'm not that much of a Simpsons fan that I would be able to figure these things out. But 555-000 is the number that Mo gives to someone once when he goes, "That's right, I'm a surgeon and this is my number." And he gave him a 555-0000. And 555-0001 is Mr. Burns. That's his phone number.
Ah,
So
of
you see,
course.
if John and Zeus are interested in dialing that number, they might get to Mr. Burns instead of possibly you know, possibly finding Simon there. I don't know.
Excellent.
Exactly. Very good. There you go. But so the phone rings, and we hear on the other side of the phone, "Hello, John." And John then, you know, again, John loves his snide comments, and he goes, "Yeah, piece of cake. Give him something harder next time." You know, very, very overconfident, you know, the whole thing. And then he hears on the phone, "But you're 10 seconds late." And then John goes, No, the answer is one. And then we hear over the phone, boom. You know, the Simon verbalizes the word boom. And then John and Zeus both completely go in different directions. And we hear them scream, "There's a bomb in the trash. Get down. Everybody get down. Get down. There's a bomb. Everybody get down. There's a bomb. Get down. There's a bomb."
And the score
And
is beautiful here.
yeah,
Just the way it
they do agree.
crescendos.
Yeah, completely. And so what's great about it is look at what Zeus does and what John does. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and today you really can see it. You can see so much about their personalities. What does Zeus do?
He just turns around and just dives.
That's right. He dives for cover. And what does John do?
He starts running down the street telling people to get out of the way.
That's right. John tries to save other people, and Zeus only wants to save himself. That's what it comes down to. You know, John is he cares about the people around him.
I wonder if location matters. I wonder if the fact that they're on the Upper West Side, in, one of the richer commercial parts of Manhattan, plays into a fact that, and he's already on guard, just because he's a black man living in New York, that maybe he's thinking that way. And if they were at a phone booth north of 110th Street, if he might have acted different. or if there was someone else on that block that he recognized, if he might have had a similar reaction. And here he's already out of his element. He's never been in a situation like this. And he's just afraid for his life. And that's why he's having that fight or flight instinct.
Okay, but I think it goes more along with the lines that Zeus is more of a loner here. You know, John, obviously he's going through issues in his life and stuff like that, and therefore he has less friends or whatever it is. But John's purpose, you know, throughout the three movies that we know of that feature John McClane up until now, his main goal is to save people. I mean, come on, he ran out onto the tarmac to try and flag down a plane before it crashed because he cared about the people there.
Yeah.
And Zeus pretty much, again, maybe it has to do with where he's, maybe it does have to do with the fact of where Zeus lives and where he's grown up and stuff like that. But he still is only thinking about himself. You know, cover your own ass. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. 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 And he doesn't know John. He doesn't, he doesn't really trust him. He's only staying in this situation because John lied to him about where they found that second bomb.
Right. But he doesn't know that yet.
Yeah. No, but yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't know that yet. But I mean, like, yeah, that's why he's with John. Yeah, of course. No, I agree with you.
Right. Okay. All right, makes sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, first of all, I love how calm Simon sounds on the phone when he's saying these things. And it's a great little touch that he just says the word boom. But now I ask another question, going back to the phone number. How did Simon get this exclusive phone number of 555-0001? You know, if you take out the element that it's needed for the script, here he has this riddle of that he wants information, and he makes sure that he has a phone number that works for that.
Yeah. Google Voice didn't exist at that time. So, yeah, he probably would have had to, have connections at the phone company in order to get that.
That's right.
In order to get that specific line.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I suppose the first three numbers in the phone number wouldn't have mattered. He just needed it to end in 0001. Or maybe he crafted maybe he just found a nursery rhyme that would have fit that.
But again, he got a very exclusive phone number.
Yes.
That's the idea.
Yes.
To be able to get the 0001. And as this is going on, we get a long shot of we see John, from afar trying to push people out of the way, try and save them and stuff like that. And, we see Lambert and Connie in the car that they watch and they're starting to react and the whole thing. And then I love the fact that, the music then dies down, and then like someone who's walking by tries to give money to Zeus, and he goes, "Welcome to New York."
Yeah, and I'm almost wondering because I can't tell by that voice. It sounds like that's John McTiernan's voice. Obviously you don't get a close up on the person. You just see his hand.
That would be very funny. Yeah, if it's
yeah.
And then Zeus looks up and goes, "Really?" And then the same voice says, "They were just talking. Here, you can have it. Come on, come on, let's go." And then we hear. Zeus says, "I'm getting out of here right now." He's had enough of the whole thing. And then we hear like a laughing sound coming from the phone. Do you think it's really possible to hear that?
No, probably not. But that's probably just added for effect, and that's just a little dramatic license. Although I am Simon is laughing on the other end of that phone.
Yes, for sure. But still.
Yeah. And it's funny, because I'm looking at the scene right now, and that neon orange trash can that's just smothered in dust, and that just reminds me of my childhood.
Okay,
Now,
I can understand that.
yeah. Yeah, now garbage cans and now city garbage cans are these giant green monstrosities
Yeah.
that look very different.
Right. And as this is all going on, we get a shot in the background, you know, as Zeus stands up, and we see a sign for a store called, it says Sleepy's, we've got your mattress. And then
Yes.
next to it is a store called Weber's,
Weber's. Okay.
which is, it's a closeout store, which took up most of the block between 71st and 72nd Streets. And
Okay.
they would sell like plastic things and stuff like that. They'd sell, you know, cheap backpacks and, you know, stuff like that. It was, you know, it's a it was actually quite a famous place back then. I, from what I was able to understand, it no longer is around, but it's still, it's possible that it is. I you know, sometimes it's hard to find if places are still around or not, you know, from
Yeah.
that. And at this point, John and Zeus continue to argue as they're more or less brushing each other off. Or brushing themselves off. And
Yeah.
then, you know, we hear we hear John say, I told you there wasn't a bomb. And he goes, I thought there was a bomb. No bomb. As John then picks up the phone. And that's the way the minute ends. So did you have anything else to say about this minute?
No, I mean it's breakneck speed, and yeah, and you know, I mean, again, just this movie works really fast, and I it's almost planned out by the minute, and I love just kind of the cliffhanger that this ends on,
Yeah.
of you know what's going to happen when they pick up that phone again.
That's right. Basically, the script, right? So we ended things yesterday with the script with them dialing, you know, 555 2401, and at this point, you know, the call connects, and then we hear Simon on the back saying, "You're late. I'm very sorry." McLean grabs Zeus and dives away from the phone booth, screaming to surrounding pedestrians, "There's a bomb in the trash can!" McLean and Zeus land in a heap on the pavement, covering up. Second pass. Nothing happens. McLean slowly looks up. A bunch of New Yorkers are staring at them. The phone receiver is swinging by its cord, and emanating from it, we hear Simon laughing. McLean and Zeus get up and go back to the phone booth. McLean lifts the receiver. So basically, according to this original script, there never was the whole trick of 555-0001. You know, they give the
Yeah.
answer that the answer was 2401. That's where they should have gotten to. You know, nothing else. So I again, it works much better with the way that they show us that Zeus figures it out and they change it and stuff like that. You know, it there's more interaction and it's more interactive with us by doing it this way.
Yes, and also the thing that that script also gets wrong about New York is that a bunch of New Yorkers would stop and stare, whereas here what we see is most people just ignore them and keep walking.
That's right. Except for, you know, one guy who's maybe John McTiernan giving him money. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and that's probably just because Zeus almost knocked him over diving
Correct.
to the ground.
Probably. That's probably true. All right. So every Tuesday, we have a segment called Trilogy Tuesday, where my guest will give their top five movie trilogies. So why don't you once again start with your number five and work your way up?
All right. This list was probably the hardest that I had to figure out this week because there are so many good trilogies out
Well,
there.
I don't do this to make it easy for you. Come on.
And also just narrowing it down, and I wanted to come up with some original choices that I would think might not show up here. And so my number five, I wanted to have a comedy on this list, and my number five is the Major League movies. Rob, I don't know how much of a baseball fan you
I'm a
are.
big baseball fan.
and
And I'm a big fan of the first Major League. The other two are crap.
Well, and that's also is I wanted to try to have trilogies that that have three strong installments. I like Major League 2. Yeah, I agree Major League is much better, but I think that Major League Back to the Minors is very underrated, and I think the fact that it doesn't have Charlie Sheen or Tom Berenger, a lot of people discount it, but I think Scott Bakula is great.
I love
And
Scott Bakula. I'm a big Quantum Leap fan, original, not the crap they've had the last 2 years, but I'm a big Quantum Leap fan and I loved him on Enterprise. Scott Bakula is an amazing actor in movies, TV shows, whatever it is, but even he couldn't help Major Back to the Minors, in my opinion. But this
Okay,
is your
yeah.
list, not mine.
Of course, of
And
course.
anyone keeping track, you can probably assume that this will not be on my list at the end of the season.
Of course. Of course. Hey, I wouldn't expect it to be. But I have a soft spot for that movie. I love Serrano and Tanaka. And you also get a young Walton Goggins in that movie. My number four is Guardians of the Galaxy, which I think has three stellar installments, especially the first and the third. Only two movies have ever made me cry: The Passion of the Christ and Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. But Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 came extremely close. I was glassy-eyed by the end of that movie.
Okay. That is fair. I love three
yes.
also. I agree with you that three is better than two. Two has a great idea, but I don't think they handled it as well as they probably should have, but you know.
Number three might be cheating a little bit, but it starts off with one of the movies that did make me cry, which is Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. I'm talking about the Genesis trilogy of the Star Trek movies, which are Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek III: The Search for Spock, and Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home, which do have a through line running through it, and they're three completely unique films. But they do have a single story that runs through them.
Yes. Okay, I'll accept that. I like that. That's a good choice. I like that because everyone who knows Star Trek knows that one and five are just not on the same level as two through four. You know, even six, which is fun, doesn't fit within two. Isn't like two through four. You know.
Sure. Number two is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Peter Jackson, just complete incredible feat of modern cinema. And to me, like, really the way it balances practical and digital effects, but also just incredible adaptation of that story. And finally, to me, my number one movie trilogy has to be the Back to the Future trilogy. Which again, all three installments I think are top notch and tell a complete story. And because you had the same writing team and director through it, really has a consistency of tone.
Yeah.
That really carries it through.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one.
And yeah, and Back to the Future itself is like one of the few perfect movies out there.
Again, you know already the story about me, you know, driving an hour and a half each way to go see Back to the Future in the theater 2 years ago. You know, so yeah. Yeah, and I got to see it all by myself. I was the only person in the theater. So, what can you
Oh.
do? Still was fun.
I have seen yes, yeah. The when I was in college, the Ziegfeld Theater on 54th Street, rest in peace. did a showing of Back to the Future, and I got to see it in a full cinema palace, in a full auditorium,
Oh,
and that
wow.
movie is it, the audience reaction is incredible.
Well, I got to see it in 85 when it came out. So that, I don't know if that's cheating, but still. Yeah.
Well, especially growing up on that movie in VHS, on VHS, and then experience it with an audience and realizing, like, you don't understand, like, how funny that is.
That's right.
How funny that movie is.
That's right. I agree. All right. Great. So, Eddie, why don't you tell people once again where they can find you?
You could find me on Twitter, X, or whatever it's called these days, at Lil Eddie O'Hare. And I'm hoping to put out a podcast by the end of the year that will, I can't reveal much. Let's just say that it's going to be talking about all the movies you should see while you're still alive.
All right, very cool. I can't wait to hear about that because maybe you have a few that I haven't seen. Maybe. It's possible. There are a lot of movies. I have seen over 11,000 movies, but
Well, let's put it this way. It's a big list.
yes, that I'm sure. That I'm sure. All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Instagram. Or you can try and find me on my website, moverobminute.com. You can also shoot me an email if you want to moverobminute@moverob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay!
Comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout. The ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.